The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
I got one question for you, Big JD.
You do? How are you? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and yourself?
I'm doing good.
You guessed my question.
That's always your question.
Have I done that before, have I?
Yeah, you do that every week.
Oh, imagine that.
It's weekly. It's a segment.
It's weekly.
Sweekly.
It's a segment on its own. It's the salutation part of the show. What have you been up to, Big JD?
Just the usual.
The usual.
Yeah.
You have something going on this weekend. You're going to the United States of America?
Yeah, shooting a television pilot.
What does that entail? Like, you're going to shoot like a 30-minute show, like 22 minutes of video you're hoping for?
Nope. It's a children's show.
Oh, they have shorter shows.
We're shooting for the day, and it's going to be... The script is only a few pages, 3-4 pages.
Okay.
So...
That doesn't mean anything.
It's going to be a... We're going to shoot for the day, but the actual episode may be anywhere between 4 and 7 minutes.
What the heck?
Yeah. And half of it animated.
Awesome.
It's part animation.
And who's doing the animation?
That would be Sean Toon from SeanToon.com.
Oh, Sean Toon.
Iowa.
He lives in Iowa?
Yeah. He's awesome. Our animator. The OMS animator.
So if he doesn't work out, just look me up, all right?
Are you an animator?
Oof.
You animate everything.
Mad animation skills.
Heightened animation.
Well, that sounds like fun. Is it going to be more like work and drudgery, or it's going to be, it'll be fun? What is the setting?
It'll be fun, but it'll be work because we have to do it all in like one afternoon, basically, and...
So you
be back. It's a 3-hour drive too. It's not just Toledo or whatever.
Oh, okay. It's a 3-hour drive. So let me guess, you're going to be near Dayton.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And why that location?
Forget the name of it. That's where the actual actor is. It's Bad Luck Brian. For anybody that's interested in the internet meme celebrity Bad Luck Brian, look him up. He's the crazy looking kid with a red hair and sweater vest and braces. So we're doing a children's TV show pilot, and then writing a feature-length comedy script.
So this has the potential to blow up.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping for a big blow-up, people.
We're hoping for a big blow-up.
I can't wait.
So it should be pretty cool. And last weekend, actually, when people are listening to this, yeah, it'll be last weekend, we'll be, I judged the Windsor Superstar competition, which is a tribute and vocal competition. Was pretty cool.
Now, what part did you play? Were you like the Howard Stern or the Simon Cowell kind of judge?
Yeah, that's...
you suck!
Probably with the... I don't know. Maybe an in-between.
An in-between. Thing,
but,
okay.
But, no, it wasn't like that, though. I mean, we weren't like verbally...
No, you judging. Just write stuff down on a piece of paper.
So we were filling out papers.
You're more like a skating
judge. But
pretty
good. I got asked to come back next year. That's good. And I think they want me to shoot something for them next year, too. But it was fun. It was cool.
So was it recorded in any way? There was anybody there?
I shot some stuff on my iPhone and posted a little video.
Okay.
But I don't think that anyone was there in any capacity to actually film the thing or do anything like that.
That'd be a great idea.
A lot of cool tribute acts, like Johnny Cash and Elvis
obviously.
And Neil Diamond.
Sure.
Some good stuff. Ray Charles. Tina Turner, Cher,
and
a lot of them were really, really good. Actually, Cher was one of the Palazzolos. Palazzolo? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A sister.
So, but a lot of the contestants were from out of town, or you had to be from this area?
A lot of them were from out of town.
Okay. That's
around the States and some further in Canada, Collingwood.
What do you win?
They won money and trophies.
Money and trophies. I'll go for the money.
And some of them tour the world doing these things.
Doing this.
Yeah, a couple of them. Do you know James Gibb?
No.
I got to say, he's like probably closer to our age, lives out in the county somewhere. He's an Elvis tribute artist, early Elvis tribute artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he travels all over the place. And I think he has been to Europe and everything. He's good. I mean, they're all good. Frank Cross is the one that put it on. He's a big Elvis.
Elvis tribute what?
Guy.
But he does Elvis as well. Or yeah, he's just yeah. into Elvis.
A later Elvis. No, he's a big tribute artist to Elvis and travels everywhere too to do things. And they're all like a bunch of these guys are big winners in tribute artistry.
I'm curious.
And it's a big deal.
I know. I understand. Like, I've been to a couple Elvis festivals. Like,
you just oh, right. Like you used to have downtown and stuff?
Right. I've been to one in Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, these guys are all there.
And there's one in Penticton as well, where my brother lives in British Columbia. I remember going down the channel.
They're everywhere.
Getting out of the water, and there was a Elvis, and he was a native. And we're back. Welcome back to Big JD at Lippo in the Morning.
Your welcome back was very fitting with the music.
I know.
And we're back. Welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So what are we talking about today, Big JD?
Well, what we're talking about is drummers.
Okay.
On the show today.
Just before we get into the
right
into the news segment that we're usually doing at this point in time.
But yeah, we're talking about drummers on the show today, and you know, possibly drums and your where did drums originate? Do we want to talk about that?
Drummers, yeah, sure.
We're not necessarily talking about the actual instrument today, are we? But
I wasn't thinking about it.
But we might want to mention something.
There's a lot of material to talk about when you just speak of drummers in general.
Newsy but bluesy here wow. on the morning show. You like that?
I love it. One piece of news that I have is that Rolling Stone did an article with Warren Haynes. And Warren Haynes and Derek Trucks were in the Allman Brothers for years. I think Derek was in it for 15 and Warren for more than 20.
Derek Trucks seems to me like he's like 20 years old or something. Seems like a young guy.
He has a young sensibility, but he's in his late 40s. If you look at him now, he looks...
Plays Red SG with his fingers.
Yeah, that's his guitar.
Interesting.
He's a one-of-a-kind kind of dude, and he's got a lot of good heritage. But back to the story.
Oh, he hasn't gone bald yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't know that he will either.
He said he's got a lot of good heritage.
Heritage. Jeez. The story behind those guys leaving the Allman Brothers was because they had agreed years and years ago that it was going to be the 45th anniversary. That's when the band was just going to, it was going to dissolve. We're going to
disband.
Go out on a high notes. And Derek and Warren agreed with each other that if at any point you leave, I'm leaving too. We're going to leave at the same time. But then as the time got closer, Derek's uncle, Butch, who's on drums, and I'm not so sure so much about Greg, but they got cold feet. They're like, I don't know if this is a really good idea. 40, maybe we can make it the 50th anniversary. But I think they discussed that as well. I'm thinking if you wait till the 50th, Greg's going to be a certain age, and we don't know, you know, what his health's going to be like. Let's do it on the 45th anniversary. And maybe if things are good at the 50th anniversary of Allman Brothers, we'll come back and do a show or whatever, do a tour. So that's the actual story behind it, as opposed to some people just thinking that there was some kind of tension in the band. It was nothing like that. This was planned a long time ago, and so that's what he came out with saying. And he's doing the circuit. He's in Guitar Player magazine, I know, and I know he's in Rolling Stone, and this is because he just came out with a solo album. Mm-hmm. Of course, Warren Haynes is the guy behind Government Mule, which is one of my favorite bands. And a piece of news from you, sir?
All kinds of news for me. Journey's Dean Castronovo arrested, reportedly arrested for alleged assault and other charges like a week ago.
Who'd he hit?
In Salem, Oregon. I have no idea.
I thought maybe he hit his wife.
Probably should have, but that's a whole other show.
Jeez, that's not very politically
I'm
correct.
I'm kidding. I jest. Let's see what else. Five Finger Death Punch revealed details for a new album. Rush members talk about future music and their touring and whatnot. Like they've been pretty verbal about things down and
yeah, they're on this month's
and they just
cover
played
of...
recently too at in Detroit, right? So
they played at
was it or was it
Palace?
Was it? Yeah.
Monday night, I think.
What else is going on? Scorpions announced North American album release and tour, 19th studio album, Return to Forever, an expanded version. I want to say that's been released, but they're releasing an expanded version. Kansas working on their first album since 2000, year 2000.
Right. Still without Livgren.
Yeah. Carey. Why is that? I wonder.
He doesn't want to do the rock and roll thing, even though he can still be religious and still sing Carry On My Wayward Son.
Carry on my wayward son.
Wow.
There'll be peace when you are done.
Cool song. David Grohl. Did you hear that story?
David Grohl fell.
He fell.
And broke his leg.
Canceled
tour shows.
But he continued the show.
Oh, he continued that show?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So they sat him down in a chair and put his leg up on a something.
That sucks.
Well, he broke a leg. Painful. Someone at the beginning of the show said, "Hey, Dave, break a leg." And he said, "Okay." So he broke his leg.
No, that's not how that happened.
What is the story behind breaking a leg?
What do you mean? Oh, well, yeah. Save that for... what was that thing we used to do on Jabbercast? And we used to bring in a thing and dissect it.
Quips and quotes or quotes and quips?
No, that was what we called it later, I think. Oh. But there was another name for it earlier on, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like for sayings?
Yeah. Something about sayings.
Anyway, before you go on, you don't ever say, "Hey, good luck," or "Have a good show." You say, "Break a leg."
Yeah, break a leg. There's other things I think you say too, isn't there? A couple other things or one other thing.
You suck.
Yeah. Radio sucks. Remember that? Okay, so moving on, we'll come back with our show topic, drummers. So let's start with drums.
Okay, that's a good place
to
start.
What is a drum?
Shut the front door.
Is there anybody you think that doesn't know what a drum is?
No, there's nobody.
It's a member of the percussion group of musical instruments.
Thanks for that little
piece. People may not know what percussion is. Isn't that when you get like hit in the head?
Yes, and you got to go to the hospital.
Percussion and repercussion.
Sorry, Mrs. Oppen, your son's got a percussion.
Oh, I was dropped when I was a baby.
Right, oh,
there's when she had me.
Now Boom. We know.
She was smoking in bed, caught everything on fire, dropped me, everything, and still was sleeping.
Drums. What the hell are you saying about your mother?
Drums consist of at least one membrane called a drum head or drum skin. People don't realize all that's involved with a drum, really.
It's
because
pretty,
you got to tighten that thing, and that's where you get the sound and tuning. And
it's pretty amazing. Instrument, really, because there's more than just one sound from one drum. You can hit a drum so many different places on so many different angles with different implements that produce a different sound.
Drumsticks and brushes and those
hands
and what do you call those, like those you play a timpani with, those mallets or something
kind it might of? Be called mallets. I'm not sure. I'm not a drummer myself. So when did you...
He's a cajonist.
Cajonist.
Yeah. Walks around the beach naked.
Honest. When did you first start playing drums, like, seriously? Like, to the point where you're like, okay, I got to learn how to play drums or... Like,
no, my brother played drums, so he had a kit all the time. And I think... it was probably even before that when my drummers had drums, you know what I mean? Used to sit at it and play around a little bit.
So you were in a
band.
But
I got okay on drums.
with other dudes, but after that, your brother decided he wanted to be a drummer?
Yeah. My brother played drums and had a nice white Pearl drum kit. Played nice. For years.
Wow.
Neighbors went berserk.
I bet they did. And what about his musical career? Was he in bands as a drummer?
Not really in bands. He jammed with a couple guys and kind of like did that on and off. But he played drums, he played guitar, played bass, sang, used to record on a 4-track all the time. He's got like dozens of tunes recorded.
Dozens?
Yeah.
Not yeah, quite as prolific as you. He's probably got like
2 90-minute tapes full of songs and then a few other things that we've done. Well, I've done like probably 5-6 CDs with him later that I did all the music and produced and he just sang on them.
Wow. That's
and there's some pretty cool stuff there too. Like it's some good stuff.
Of course it is. You're going to say that about your brother?
Well, the music's great.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's pretty cool. One is an acoustic CD too.
I bet you he wasn't dropped as a kid.
Nope. Nope.
He's the normal one of the bunch. Lucky you. So you started playing drums and you realized that this is not really where my passion lies. It's in
well, I didn't play drums originally though. Anyway.
No, I know, but once you did, you know, you got sat down behind the
kit, it's not necessarily my passion to play drums, but I often use drums as a writing tool. I will do drums before I do anything. I have a couple projects that like mine.
Mm-hmm.
That are probably like 2 full CDs worth of drums with nothing else yet.
But you
I'll write with drums.
Sure.
Love them.
Me too. I have to say, I feel the most creative when a drummer is just drumming something.
Yeah.
Like if he's just fooling around on something and then I'll just start riffing out.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, what? Yeah, I don't know.
So I should probably give you a CD's worth of drums and then have you lay down some guitar tracks on them.
Why do you have to give me a CD full? Why can't you just give me one song?
Because one's nothing.
I know for you.
You got to be held accountable to your
what
musicianship and creativity and make something of your own. That's why.
A whole CD's worth of songs.
Yep, the Lipo CD. That's what we're going to do. That's how we'll work it.
Okay, and where are the drums? Are they actually just in digital format?
Digital format? Yeah, well, I could play them. No, but I won't do that. Yeah, I'll use MIDI drums.
Okay.
They're awesome.
Yeah, I
wait to hear the tune that you've played harmonica on. It's coming along, man. It's all done except for bass right now.
I played 12 bars of harmonica.
I know, but it was really cool. And did it on the first take.
First take one, yeah. That's the way that works.
I even left your thing at the end of the tune. I put it at the end.
What is it?
I don't know. You said something. As soon as it was done, almost before the harmonica was dissipated, you were like, can I hear that back? You play that back again? Something like that. And I put it at the end of the tune. It was funny.
It is funny how that happens. Just it comes out and you just know that's probably going to be the one.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool.
And what is that for again?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just something that he's...
If I get paid, you'll get paid. You know what? I actually wrote these tunes, like the melody guitar, and recorded that in 2009.
Okay.
And then finally got around to
shows
finishing
you
the songs.
How busy you have been in the last 6 years.
I've been
years.
Too busy to do my own stuff.
We're going to hear a tune right now. This is from the Burning for Buddy CD, which is Neil Peart's tribute to Mr. Buddy Rich. This is called Dancing Men.
Crazy Drummin'.
Crazy Drum from Neil Peart. He did the, there's a version, not a version two, a volume two of the of that Burning for Buddy. The first one was so popular. He just did it as a labor of love. And I thought maybe a little bit of a soul repair as well, because he's been through the ringer. And but he wanted to pay his tribute to Buddy Guy, to not to Buddy Guy, to Buddy Rich.
Buddy Holly.
And he had a whole bunch of other dudes, like probably a bunch of the guys that we're going to talk about today on both of those CDs. The first one became so popular, he had to do another one because of the pressure was on. Like, you should do another one of those. That was so good. And they're both really good. I highly recommend you stream those from Spotify today.
And what we're listening to next is Billy Cobham, jazz drummer. And on guitar is Tommy Bolin of Deep Purple fame. This is called Quadrant 4.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Honestly, didn't know that Tommy Bolin was, that's like fusion music, kind of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't realize he was, he got to that point. Because I think a lot of musicians, once they pursue their love and, you know, do what they want, whether it's punk or metal or rock, whatever, a true musician will always kind of tend to stray to jazz just to touch upon it, even just to, you know, see what...
Or something else.
Something else,
anything else. And oftentimes while they're doing their, you know, it's another outlet.
Yes.
While they're in this band, they're doing something else, some kind of side project. And yeah, Tommy Bolin was... definitely somebody well known for that. He played with Moxie. He played with the James Gang. He played with Alphonse Mouzon, who was another amazing drummer from, you know, back around that time.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other bands. I think he was on, I want to say he played with Rod Stewart or something.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He did a lot of stuff in his short career.
And how old was he when he passed away? Do you know?
I don't remember, but...
do you know how he passed away?
He was pretty young. No, I don't, but I want to say, was it OD'd maybe or something?
Okay.
I can't remember. Don't quote me on that.
No. I honestly didn't even know he was a drug-taking person.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was.
I'm sure.
I'm quite sure that he was.
Okay, I didn't...
But, again, don't quote me on that.
Right.
I'll get calls from his family and everything.
Right.
We'll have to do an apology show.
I don't think so. I don't think it gets to that point. One of the things that I know you like to do on this show is lists. And it's an internet thing, is lists.
Sure.
There is no shortage of lists on the internet or in magazines.
Take us through the best drummers in the world.
Here we go. Number 20, Tommy Lee. What do you think of that?
Tommy Lee?
Yeah.
I like him, but no.
I'd like
not, in like, not in like the top 10 or 20, probably.
That's interesting, because number 19 is Max Roach.
Max Roach.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's known for his work with every member of Jazz's
high
nobility.
Known for. That doesn't say anything about his playing.
Well, it does, in so
not
much
really.
That...
If he's a good drummer.
You're going to get
good timekeeper, maybe. You know what I mean? Blah, 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 blah.
But it doesn't make him legendary.
Special. Right. No, he's not special. I don't think so.
Okay. So would you say Ringo Starr's in the top 20?
No.
No, I don't think he would, because he's not a special
Whether
drummer.
Or not the video was made or not.
No. Well, that's what everybody admitted. There's a video on right now. You can probably just find it.
Actually, Ringo Starr himself is a special guy. But Drummond? No, this Drummond's not, I wouldn't say, special.
No, he's not technically extraordinary.
But he was really rock and roll drummer, and you know what I mean? So there's a lot of other factors in there.
Yes.
But a really amazing drummer, that's something else altogether.
Right. Gotcha. What about Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater? Also on...
I'm going to say a great drummer, but...
Nothing special?
I don't know.
Okay, he's not on the list. Or he may be, I don't know. What about 18, Neil Peart?
Yeah, absolutely.
How come?
Because he's an incredible drummer.
He's incredible.
He's technical, and he does a lot of amazing things, and he's so spot on.
The thing that I think that makes him one of the best drummers, and a lot of rock drummers to this day will quote him as their inspiration for playing, is because he always took his drumming to the next level. It's like he never stayed the same. It's like, I'm not just going to play that same beat I played on Fly By Night.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it to the next thing, and I'm going to be, you know, do something that I haven't done yet before, which is what a really good musician does.
An innovator.
Yeah, they innovate on what they're doing. And on top of that, he wrote all the words to every Rush song. Not every Rush song, probably, but most of the Rush tunes, he wrote the lyrics.
Right, which doesn't make him a good drummer in any sense, but...
No, it's
The drummer, Rob Reiner, which we don't have enough time to play everything I'd want to play on here, but Rob Reiner from Anvil is one of the most amazing drummers that I know of.
Rob Reiner. Yeah. That's his name?
Top 10.
Isn't that Meathead on All in the Family?
Yeah.
And the director of Spinal Tap.
That's who it is. No, that's not
who it is. It's not.
So who else is on the list?
17, Questlove.
Huh?
Questlove.
What's who?
He's the guy who's in The Roots, the band The Roots, who is the band for Jimmy Fallon's show.
Okay.
He's also in the Ringo Starr. Why do you say moving on?
I don't know. I guess he's. I mean, there's a lot of good drummers
for sure. Oh, and 16. I cannot.
And lists of good drummers is what is this? 100 people list?
20.
Oh, okay.
What part of 28 is?
They're already missing lots of people. I think. Yeah. Okay.
What about 16? Alex Van Halen.
Kind of on the special side, but
not great.
You know, not yeah, not.
He was
that
so
outstanding, or anything.
He was so not great that he wasn't the drummer who recorded a lot of Van Halen songs. Eddie plays drums on a lot of the songs that you think his brother may have played on. Eddie's the guy who recorded it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be listening to the guy we just talked about a minute ago, Ringo Starr. Is you know, it ain't easy, because if you want to sing the blues, you got to pay your dues.
Here's a guy that's underrated. Bill Ward, Black Sabbath, Symptom of the Universe.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So who was Alan White? An old game show host or something?
And your host for today is Alan White. No, Alan White was a drummer for Yes.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yes. That's right.
Oh, yes.
So this next song is an Al Di Meola song.
Another jazz dude, fusion-ish kind of guy.
Race with Devil on Spanish Highway. This is drummer Lenny White, who is a really cool drummer.
Alan's brother.
No, it's not. he was. I'm back now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we number 16 was Alex Van Halen on our list.
Oh yeah, let's get through the list and
skip yeah, okay. Tony guys. Williams is number 15. You don't know who he is. Social Distortion's drummer Chuck Biscuits. The band I'm in, King Friday, is Francis Mayhew, and his favorite drummer is Danny Carey. And do you know who Danny Carey is the drummer for?
He's a comedian, isn't he, Danny Carey?
That's Jim's brother, yeah. Tool. He's a drummer in Tool. Dave Lombardo.
Okay, yeah, cool drummer. Dave Lombardo's a great drummer. Definitely should be.
Phil Collins.
Cozy Powell. Was a really good drummer.
I bet you he still is.
And as great as I think Cozy Powell is, you know, should he be on the list?
Maybe not. That's a good. Good point.
But the Apice brothers, Carmen is quite amazing. The other guy, I think he's great too. Like really one of the coolest drummers. But should he be on the list of one of the best drummers? Like top 10, right. Top 20? No.
What about Peter Criss?
Peter Criss is great too, but I don't really think so. I mean, there's so many guys I know that are like phenomenal.
John
drummers.
Bonham.
Dave Grohl is a drummer. That's getting up there too, man, I think. But
yeah, Dave Grohl and Peter Criss are on the same level.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that.
Whereas Taylor Hawkins, the drummer for the
Keith Moon, up top. Bill Ward, up at the top. Neil Peart, Rob Reiner. Cobham, Muzan, Lombardo,
Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich.
What about Gene Krupa?
Absolutely. Gene Krupa. We're just about out of time
all right,
here.
Well, I don't know what to say other than what are we going to do next week? Drummers part two.
There's a show next week. Yeah, that went by really fast.
Drummers.
It was the race with the devil on Spanish Highway. It was 7 minutes.
Okay.
That's what did it.
Woo, that was a long race. Who won, by the way?
I did.
Okay.
I did. What about Elvis?
Was he a good drummer?
When are we going to do a show on Elvis?
Next week.
I get a couple good interviews next for week. Elvis, too. I get one of the top Elvis tribute artists. And also, I met somebody at that event who is has one of the biggest Elvis fan clubs, registered with Graceland and everything, and has one of the largest... memorabilia collections of Elvis things.
No, that's what we're doing. Next week is going to be the Elvis show. Absolutely. And the number one drummer is...
we're going to dress up like Elvis. Nobody can see.
Number one drummer on the list was...
Oh, Bonham, yeah. He's definitely up.
So that's just... And I honestly think...
But is he great?
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm just kidding. I think he was a pretty great drummer. He's definitely in the top for me.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that guy.
Forgot all about that guy.
Yeah, his kid's pretty good, just like him too. But.
Almost identical to his dad.
Yeah,
same style and everything. Yeah. I mean, he grew up literally playing the drums with Led Zeppelin. How awesome does that get?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's the story of him sitting down behind a kit and started playing the beat his dad was just playing for some new Led Zeppelin tune. I forget what it was, but Jimmy walked in the room, just assumed it was John on drums and started playing along. And it wasn't until he was done, he was like. It was John Bonham's 8-year-old son playing drums.
Yeah, I don't know that there's really probably a difference in his playing for the most part, but is there a difference in what they would create? Of course.
So
that's why he can't match.
Right, I think being put in the situation that John Bonham was put in, as far as the level of talent that was there. And the amount of creativity that that was brewing in general in that time of period, in 1969, it was hard to
and
I just got the Jimmy Page book. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking heavy.
Yeah, big thick book by Jimmy Page.
Coffee table book. Yeah.
Oh, coffee table. Lots of pictures.
It's all pictures. Very minimal amount of narrative through it. Cover on it. It's beautiful. So I've gotten through a little bit of it. Like they're just starting Led Zeppelin. And basically that was Jimmy's group. He's the guy who started it. He just kind of called everybody together. And it was just the right mixture of talent that was pooled together. And just the scene that was happening at that time. Because I'm also reading Graham Nash's autobiography. And it, right now he's in that exact same time period. Obviously he's going in a different direction, but you hear the same kind of story of, you know, everything's changing as far as music goes. It's all boiling down to, you know, artists being real artists and they're writing and they're performing, whereas before it was a whole different scene altogether. You were a songwriter or you're a song performer or, you know, you're an arranger. You know, there was all kinds of different things as far as creating music and getting it recorded and played and all that kind of stuff. So it was a really interesting time to be a musician. I sure wish I was older back then, but then I'd be even older now. So
yeah, no, you don't want that. When you're talking about Jimmy Page kind of being the, you know, being the mm-hmm. head of Led Zeppelin, though, he's really the only one that came from somewhere that was like a prominent band before that, right?
Yardbirds. Yep. Yeah, that's true. And before that, he was a session musician who couldn't read very well, couldn't read music very well. Yeah, so
music, yeah.
He was lucky in so much that he had a lot of talent.
Can you read music very well?
Can I read music very well?
Me either.
I'm not too bad. Yeah. I went to the...
I know what's what, but I mean, I couldn't sit something down and play.
I think I went to grade 5 or 6. I might have started grade 6 and cut out in the Canadian Conservatory of Music. You know, you go through the grades and you get tested and all that. So, yeah, I could read music. But anyway.
I played in the school band.
You want to keep the show going or are we going to play the song?
2 years. Learned how to read music and everything. 2 years playing tuba. That's a whole other show.
So right now we're going to be listening to one of my favorite drummers, Ian Pace of the band Deep Purple. This is Mary Long off of Who Do You Think We Are? And that's going to be the end of the show, folks. Thanks a lot for listening. See you next week.
Bye. We'll be right back.
sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.